You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Tuesday, guys. Welcome to Vanessa and Gallant, the 11 o'clock hour. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He's Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass producing for us. I'm back. Happy to be back. Appreciate everybody's kind words. And Paul, you had a birthday.
I did. I had a birthday.
Happy belated.
Thank you
very much.
He hit
his Larry Bird year. He's 33.
33.
Woo!
Definitely not acting like I'm 33.
That's okay. Age is just a number.
Thanks. We'll get there eventually, I hope, but not today.
Yeah,
not
how
today,
was it?
Junior.
How was it?
Oh, it was a good time. I had a great time.
Good.
Most of my friends were able to come out. It's a beautiful day here in Houston, so I went to patio, went to a great Italian restaurant called Riva's that I like.
Yum.
That's in Montrose. Yeah, they give you so much food, too. It's some veal marsala. Sorry, I killed a little baby cow. Sorry, it tastes too good. And then afterwards, went to Bungalow and woke up the next day on my friend's couch.
Yum.
And I've been just shaking off a hangover.
And you remember what percentage of it?
I would say probably like 70 to 80%.
Oh, you remember 70 to 80%.
Yeah.
That's not bad. For your birthday, that's not bad.
It started to, become a little cloudy, I would say, at about like midnight or so.
That's not bad for you, though.
Yeah, you started to, what are you really expecting to remember after that?
Well, right?
Thank you.
Happy belated birthday, Polly G. May this be the year for you. I don't know
what does that mean?
I don't know.
May this be the year.
Neurologist marries you.
I blew that one up.
Will this be the year for the Texans transition? No. But we do expect them to have more consistency. Certainly, I've heard from the guys in the locker room that they're excited to have Lovie Smith at the helm and kind of some fresh blood in there. Tunsil and Cooks coming back. If you would have made me bet large money on Laremy Tunsil coming back, I would have said no way.
That was the biggest mystery of this past year. Why wasn't he out there? It seemed like at a certain point he would be healthy.
And they could never give an update on what his injury was specifically. It just was that he was injured. But
yes,
he is coming back. Brandon Cooks is coming back. You asked this, and I thought it was a good question. Should we buy into Lovie Smith and his coaching staff a little bit more because of that? I've said from the time Lovie Smith was hired that he's a player-friendly coach. I don't, Justin Reed, if you remember, Justin Reed was so ready to go in a classy way because Justin's a classy guy. Lovie being hired was the only thing that made me think that Justin Reed may stay. So I do think a lot of the guys like Lovie Smith and they've bought into his program and what he likes.
Yeah, and that's definitely one solid building block that you have is that he's respected. Obviously, he has a track record in the NFL. I don't think it's a great track record necessarily enough to get him a third gig as a head coach, but he has made a Super Bowl. It was a long time ago. It was with Rex Grossman, so that deserves a little gold star.
Never forget.
Can you believe that they got to that Super Bowl?
It's crazy. And I mean,
because we were both rooting for teams that we were like, oh, we just need to get out of the AFC because the NFC sucks. That year, the NFC was pretty lame.
It seemed like a sure thing once the Colts got there. Never forget, by the way, Prince singing Purple Rain in the Rain. One of the best halftime shows ever.
It was a very good halftime show. And I would say that as far as what we're going to see from the Texans as a show this year, what a terrible transition going back to it. I wonder how long whatever positive vibes are being felt about this organization last, because this still is a team that does not have a whole lot of talent. This is still a team that, yes, has 11 draft picks coming into this draft, but what are they going to be able to find this year that's going to potentially keep guys like Laremy Tunsil, like Brandon Cooks, engaged? It does seem like Brandon Cooks does not have a problem on that front, but I think with Tunsil, there is perhaps a question that you can ask about it. Sure, David Culley's not here anymore, and Culley seems like someone that would probably be, if you were a veteran in this league, looking at with a side eye, but is Lovie Smith going to guarantee that this entire team in a clear rebuilding year again is going to be able to stay engaged for a full season? I wonder about that, but he is saying all the things that I would like to hear. He is just the head coach. He's not the actual player.
Lovie Smith did talk a lot about Brandon Cooks, and here's what he had to say about Brandon.
But what I was able to see from a different position last year, just how he went to work every day too. You have veterans that you want on the team to show the younger guys how to play, how to handle themselves as a pro. So Brandon feels really good about being here. You talk about those other players of wanting to be here. Brandon is another one that wanted to be here. He believes in that vision for our football team and what we can do. excited to have him back.
I'm excited to have him back, too.
Yeah, me too.
And I talked about this last week. There are some talking heads in this town that wanted to move on from him, and their reasons were completely nonsensical. Like, he's too old. It doesn't make sense to have him a part of this roster. Almost seemed like they were disappointed that this deal was reached. You have no talent on offense. You need to give Davis Mills everything that he possibly can have if you want him to succeed. Because otherwise, this season is an entire waste of your time. If you're going into next year and it's just Davis Mills and that's it. It's great that they brought him back. And you were away for that. I mean, I'm sure that in your time in the locker room that you've seen that this guy is clearly respected. Davis Mills clearly likes throwing him the ball.
And Davis Mills is young. You need they're going to probably draft a wide receiver in the first round. So
you think so?
I think they could.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I mean, he's not going to be a rookie anymore. He'll be in his second year. But for those guys to have somebody that's an older veteran that's a little consistent, and the extending his contract, it wasn't an egregious contract. This was not a Bill O'Brien GM contract.
It's 2 years, 30,
yeah,
six guaranteed, 39 total. So something you just said there, it reminds me of something else that Lovie Smith said in his press conference yesterday, Vanessa. So I don't know what the Texans necessarily are going to do at the specific picks, 3 and 13 in this year's draft, but everything that I have heard from Lovie Smith this offseason screams that the Texans are going to make a pick at this position in the coming draft. Here is Lovie Smith yesterday.
Well, I mean, we're looking at the roster right now, and you see who we have there, and you also see our play at the cornerback position. Our play at the cornerback position last year was not good enough. It's as simple as that. If we brought somebody back, we have faith in them. We think that they can fit into the mix some kind of way. But as a position, we'll continue to look to improve. We can't play the type of football that we want to play until we get better at the cornerback position. I will say that.
Lock. They will draft a corner in the first round.
It's a great point.
I'm putting it down. I could be totally wrong. I might have egg on my face. But there was something else, Vanessa, that Lovie Smith said earlier this offseason, too, where he was very specific with what he wants at cornerback. He wants a guy who's like 6'1". He wants a guy who is going to be physical. He wants a guy who's going to come up and run support. And look, I'm not saying that a cornerback can entirely change a defense, but when you get somebody like a Jalen Ramsey, say one of those players can be as good as a Jalen Ramsey at pick number 3, because that's where I believe Jalen Ramsey was selected by the Jaguars a couple of years ago, that's a great place to start off with. And that is a position that is very difficult to find. And when you do get a guy like that, obviously you're going to have to pay him. But when you can find a guy like that and put him on a rookie deal, it just totally changes what you can do defensively. And if your cornerback group was what the Texans was last year, you need to find a guy like that. How often are you going to have an opportunity to draft a corner like this? Sure, you can go after a pass rusher, you can go after an offensive lineman, but I hope, especially with everything that you're hearing from Lovie Smith, that they go after a cornerback. And I feel like all the tea leaves, I'm reading them, and I see a cornerback in the Texans' future.
It's also the position that he's being the most openly grumpy about.
Yes.
Grumpy might be the wrong word, but he's been taught. He at least will praise the other position, certain players. I don't think I've heard him say a lot of good things about anybody in the corner position because he knows that they're so destitute at it.
You're right. They're not good. And, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to point to Lonnie Johnson, YouTube sensation?
Yeah, did he start a reality show?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I think I might need to watch it to get a feel for
is it
this
a web
worth
series?
This time? I really do not know. Just the fact that Lonnie Johnson has anything is probably a misappropriation of time and resources. I'm all for, you know, being your own brand, building your own brand. I hope that he has people doing it for him so that it's not him like me, like hunched over Premiere Pro like I do after the radio show, trying to find a clip from the show that I like and then trying to do the same thing for my Twitch show afterwards.
Wait, I didn't realize Lonnie Johnson had a show, so we need to do some investigating on this.
We have time to do it. We have time leading up to the NFL draft to do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, we're gonna have to watch this.
You seem very excited about it.
I'm very intrigued, and I like Lonnie, by the way. He's from Indiana. He's from Gary, Indiana. Nice guy. Great.
Ooh, Gary.
Yeah.
The only place next to the water, right? Is that where they get all the shrimp?
No. It's where Michael Jackson's from.
Michael Jackson's from Gary.
Gary, Indiana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know my dad's name, Gary, as we continue to just make awkward small talk about Gary? Gary James Gallant.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we get more into the Texans draft, plus which NFL player has the most to prove in the 2022 season. That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So our producer, Sean Mapes, has been doing some research for us in the commercial break and found out more about Lonnie Johnson's YouTube show called Life of Lotto. Now, I thought it would be Life of Lano, like L-O-N-N-I, but it's Life of Lotto, like the lottery, question mark?
Yes, L-O-T-T-O. It's at Lotto TV on YouTube if you want to check it out. If you have 18 minutes and 30 seconds free.
Wait, he has his own. It's not on like YouTube. It's on Lotto TV.
Well, no, it's on YouTube. That's the
my bad.
That's his brand name, I guess, or the channel.
Oh boy,
he has 188 subscribers to Lotto TV.
Really?
Wow, that's it.
I'm scrolling through briefly. We're going to watch it after the show, but there's just a lot of him working out and some interviews in his car.
I would say give up, bro. It's not worth it. I mean, someone annoyed with how difficult it is to make any dent on YouTube, who's got like 1.3...
Yeah, hold on.
I have 1,360,000 followers. I lose my mind every day when I post a clip. It's like, oh, 20 views. And then I lose like 10 Seattle followers who say, Paul, I hate you. Why did you leave us? And I'm like, what? It's not my fault.
Now, to be fair to Lonnie Johnson, this actually, you might be brothers in arms here. This is only episode one.
Oh.
So he's on the come up.
182 subscribers. You're an NFL player. You need to have more than that.
Well, now people are gonna get
the
word.
I mean, I'm trying to attach it. I'm helping spread the word right now. But
it's at less than 1,000 views
at
right now.
At Lotto TV.
Give up. It's not worth it.
Life of Lotto. Episode one.
Paul, I will give him credit, is very honest about the bitterness he feels from people that go viral overnight.
I want to smash my face.
Annie Agar.
On
Katie
this
Nolan.
Table. All these people that go on TikTok and just wiggle Jake their ass Paul. Or their Schmenzer, and like, congratulations, you're dancing and lip syncing. What is wrong? How is this doing better than my hot takes?
Have you ever tried, though, just doing like a sexy dance?
Wait,
I'm a
second.
Savage.
Do you want me to
sassy, moody?
You should dance to your takes.
Yes,
have the audio of your takes
popped
in and you dance.
So hang on, I can't believe that this happened, and I feel like it's got to be a joke, but I got a message. I got a message on Twitch. This is probably inappropriate. Don't read this loud on Twitch. Oh, shoot. Well, I'm not going to read this person's handle. You're hot as hell. That nipple rub was sexy as hell. Hearing you sleep nude is hot. You should totally get OnlyFans. Sorry, I meant to send this before, but totally forgot to hit send. Someone sent this in response to a little thing that I did on Twitch where I was talking about how the Yankees... This Yankee writer who is like essentially writing about how much of a bummer it is that they didn't get Aaron Judge signed by a self-imposed deadline. I was just reading his like tears and going, oh yeah, this is great. And then I got that comment on Twitch.
We got some interesting people on Twitch.
Should I create an OnlyFans, Vanessa?
Yeah.
713-780-3776.
Sure. Sure, that would do hashtag numbers.
Better than Lonnie Johnson or no?
Lotto TV. You need a fun name.
Pauly G TV. See, that actually rhymes.
You could, but to Sean's point, you could do dances to your takes. Like Russell Wilson, overrated. You know what I mean? You could really get into it.
Oh, my God.
All right. Every now and then in the NFL, you have a guy who is... going into a season with a lot to prove. Maybe it's because they were drafted high or because they just got a big contract. I think there's a lot of guys like this this year. And they were talking about this morning on Good Morning Football, and I thought it was a really interesting discussion.
Yeah.
As I cough.
I feel like there's a lot of guys you could point at.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, you have to point at every single one of the quarterbacks that switched locations.
Mm.
If Russell Wilson's still the same quarterback that he used to be, which I don't think we have seen consistently in 3 years since 2019, I think there's the most pressure on him. Because I think it's a pretty safe assumption to believe that he goes to Denver and he is the same quarterback that he used to be. But can he do that for a whole year in an offseason where he forced his way out of town? So I would point to him. Obviously, Deshaun Watson, too.
Yeah, Deshaun, on and off the field, has a lot to prove.
Yeah.
No shot. I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. And I think there's a lot of angles you could take with guys that have been drafted early or, again, guys that get big contracts always have a lot to prove. He was a second overall pick. He had the MVP-type season, obviously, in 2017. Frank Reich lobbies for him to come to Indianapolis. Wasn't terrible, but it definitely didn't work out. And then you have the off-the-field stuff. And there have been two franchises now, the Eagles and the Colts, where the narrative that emerges from the locker room is that he's not a great leader. He's not vocal. And so I think that Carson Wentz has a lot to prove in Washington, and I think he has about 1 year to do it.
I'm almost at the point where I've just given up on Carson
Wentz.
So
you don't think he has a lot to prove because you don't think people still believe in him.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I think that there are some people that are holding out hope that maybe he can have a research. Dan Orlovsky is very pro Carson Wentz, but I think he has a lot to prove. And then the other one you mentioned, the quarterbacks, is just Baker Mayfield. If you're Baker Mayfield and you're always saying that you like having your back against the wall and everybody doubts you and all that, he hasn't had a lot of teammates that have stuck up for him. And when I say a lot, I mean he's had zero.
He doesn't even have a team
yet. He doesn't have a team right now. So if he finds a team, that's first of all, after the musical chairs have settled and after the draft, if he can even find a team, I think he has a lot to prove.
I guess, though, there are just certain guys where I'm like, it's over. And I'm kind of feeling that way with Baker Mayfield. I'm kind of feeling that way with Carson Wentz. If they do anything, I feel like, to me, that will have actually proved something. So the bar is so low for them to clear, Vanessa. I guess I can't quite put those guys there in the same as Russell Wilson, the same as Deshaun Watson. I think Tua Tagovailoa's got a lot to prove. I mean,
when you look at all of the adjustments that they made, the guys that they've brought in and the way they're trying to protect him, yeah. New regime.
Tyreek Hill's in. They supposedly thought about bringing in Tom Brady and putting him in an ownership role. That's the rumor that we saw get a little bit more light of day, Vanessa, last week. How that might have been something Tom Brady was angling to do was to go to the Dolphins and be a part owner. So if you're Tua, there are so many people that are focused on you right now, and they're like, you have no more excuses. We have given you everything, and we have given you a lot of benefit of the doubt, too. He has gotten a lot more benefit of the doubt than other young quarterbacks, and he's very fortunate on that front. Maybe that's part of just playing in Miami where there's not as much pressure being put on you.
Text the text line and give us a call and Twitch us. The phone number 713-780-3776. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He is at Gallant says, which NFL player has the most to prove this upcoming season? It'll be interesting. I mean, I think that there's a lot of guys that, you know, certainly have numbers on their backs. And for me, I think some of it depends too on what the expectations are. Cause like you said, if you don't expect a lot from Carson Wentz, if you don't expect a lot from Baker Mayfield, Jalen Ramsey, guys like that, then you might not exactly put them as somebody that needs to perform well.
Right. And if we're going to outside of quarterbacks, off the top of your head, is there anyone? I mean, Von Miller goes to the Bills. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on Von Miller.
Yeah. To like overperform.
Right. I mean, you're a guy who's won two Super Bowls with two different teams. It's almost, hey, are you going to make history? But no one's, I think, breathing down your neck for that. I'd say that the same thing with Chandler Jones going to Vegas. I mean, he's going from a similar situation in Arizona where you're a quasi-contender but not quite to a situation in Vegas where probably you're feeling the same way just because of Derek Carr under center. Other guys who have changed places over the course of the offseason. Head coaching-wise, who is perhaps facing down the barrel of you fired? You've seen, obviously, in the AFC West, I don't think that there's anyone that really you look at right now and say, oh, this guy,
right,
this guy's in serious trouble. Because obviously you have two new coaches in Hackett and Josh McDaniels. Andy Reid's never going anywhere. Maybe Brandon Staley, because he's this wonder boy.
The boy wonder, yeah.
Right, that everyone believes in. I would have said Pete Carroll in Seattle, but it seems like he has unlimited.
They're going to let him ride off into the sunset for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be a very polite pushing out the door. Maybe Bill Belichick. Robert Kraft's been a little bit pointed this offseason compared to past, like saying, hey, look, like we're expecting a lot out of Mac Jones this year. Well, indirectly, he's also saying that he expects Belichick to get more than 10 wins this coming year because they did pick Belichick over Brady.
All right, meanwhile, could Deshaun Watson's guaranteed contract set a precedent? We know that agents and athletes would certainly like that. About 2 hours ago, J.C. Treader, who is the president of the NFL Players Association, tweeted this. Did you know guaranteed contracts are not included in the CBA for any sport? But we can make them the norm across the NFL. Here's how, based on what we can learn from other major sports leagues. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, quote, tweeting it and pointing it out, that this is the NFLPA president, and he is making a public push for players and agents to capitalize on that new precedent set by Deshaun Watson, as we know, fully guaranteed $230 million. Do you think that this could happen, where we start seeing more big money, full guaranteed contracts? Because clearly the NFLPA wants that.
I don't. I want these players to get it, because it's got to be, if you're one of those guys who's barely in the league and you have a non-guaranteed contract and you're just praying to cling on for dear life, it would be nice to have a little extra security. But in a league where coaches, general managers, and especially owners look at players as essentially disposable parts,
right,
no one's going to give a guaranteed contract to anybody who's not a top 10 quarterback. Because even if you don't like Kirk Cousins is a borderline top 10 quarterback. He's just frustrating because he's got a very clear ceiling and doesn't act aggressively enough in the biggest moments. Deshaun Watson gets it. But you're not even seeing like elite skill position players get fully guaranteed contracts. You're seeing close to it with Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill, but not all the way. I guess Brandon Cooks is really the closest as far as percentage of salary that's guaranteed, $39 million, 36 of it guaranteed. But look, they can try for this and good luck, but yeah, it's it. It's just like it is in our world that we live in. It's a have and have not kind of society, and there's a 1% and there's a 99%.
And shout out to David Mulugeta and Athletes First. I mean, look, the Deshaun Watson discussion of should he have gotten that money is another discussion, but the fact that they were able to get all of that guaranteed for him is astronomical. Hey, listen up. If you own your home, grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it's a hassle, but it doesn't have to be anymore thanks to TGS Insurance. They built a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds, and all you got to do is text. You'll save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now. Text the word M-O-N-E-Y, money, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your home address. Just send that back, and you're going to have a quote with great coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from last year is saving over $870. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been, and you're only a text away from big savings. So one more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, hey. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. Our producer, Sean Mapes, behind the glass, rolling along on a Tuesday. Frank Vogel, former Pacers coach, Magic coach, Lakers coach, all former. He has been fired.
Boom. You're fired.
Sucks
to be LeBron's coach.
127-98 in three seasons as head coach. Although it was a shortened season, they did technically win a title. And in the what have you done for me lately world, Frank Vogel is out after the Lakers failed to even make the play-in tournament.
As a Celtics fan, I like to put an asterisk next to that title for the Lakers,
right,
in addition to all other titles in Minneapolis, since the Los Angeles Lakers themselves only have actually, what, 11 titles? Whatever. This is not surprising, but I am really enjoying, Vanessa, the people that made this team what it was, which is LeBron James and LeBron James, the player and the general manager, the player and the most powerful man that is not an owner in basketball. They created this, and the poor people that are getting fired along the way. I shouldn't take pleasure in Frank Vogel losing his job, but he is now free. He does not have to deal with being blamed for something that he could not have possibly fixed.
Yep. And I do like Frank Vogel. When I worked for the Pacers, he was there for 1 year before Nate McMillan came in. Nice guy. He's probably going to get a large amount of money. And I, you know,
nice little retirement package, although
right,
he'll probably be back in coaching.
He'll
after
definitely
a while
be back in coaching. And here's the funny thing. At some point, when you have such an old team full of geriatric, by NBA standards, guys, and you know that they're not going to be great, and you're dealing with the egos of LeBron James, Russell, at some point, he probably is like, fine, I'm good. Because he will get another coaching job. It'll probably be less pressure. And you know what? He'll probably have a better chance to win again.
And on top of that, too, I mean, if you're getting fired and you're finding out about it from...
via the media.
The media. And you're like, I don't know bleep about anything. Yeah, you're 100% right. He is probably relieved more than anything. So now, okay, you get a little freedom. You get to move on into something else potentially. And I want LeBron James to sit in it. He deserves to sit in it. He made this mess, and there is no one else he can blame this time. He has done this his entire career. LeBron blames. He pointed at Cleveland as far as why he couldn't win. Okay, maybe you had a point in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and you move on to the Miami Heat, and things work out for you there. But things weren't working out for you quite well enough, so you went back to Cleveland. You won the title there. Great. I do wonder, though, how he would have felt had he stayed in Miami going forward with Pat Riley, with Eric Spoelstra. I have a great deal of respect for them as far as what they're able to do as roster architects. And I guess because LeBron wasn't being given the final say, they were like, well, sorry, no. And now you see him in L.A., and L.A., instead of being the Laker organization that they historically were, like the Laker organization, if you've been watching that HBO show, Winning Time, which has been great. I've loved it.
I need to watch that.
It's really good. 6 episodes in, Vanessa. I think you'll really like
it. What's it on HBO?
HBO Max. Okay. Yeah, it's really been good thus far. John C. Reilly as Jerry Buss is great. But they are so far removed from the days of Jerry Buss. I mean, they're just a mess of a franchise right now, where not only are they like leaking through the media when guys are getting fired, but also... they're letting their players run the show.
LeBron saying, quote, the season was not a failure. I mean, he said that verbatim. He said it wasn't a failure. You are LeBron James. You're on a team with some guys that in the past have been great NBA players. Now, maybe they're past their prime. And you don't even make the tournament?
No.
And it's not a failure?
And you tweeted during the offseason?
Right.
Keep that same energy for...
Keep that same energy.
For that...
God, I hate when people talk like that.
It was that movie. Any movie with a bunch of old men, like The Bucket List, like the geriatric versions of Grown Ups, where you had like Jack Nicholson and I think Morgan Freeman and a couple of other ones in it, like old dogs or something like that. That's what this team was going into the year. And instead of saying like, hey, we'll see what happens, you were like, yeah, we're gonna prove everybody wrong, and then you didn't, and you deleted the tweet, and now here you are. And it's also been funny, you know, we talk a lot about LeBron James, but Russell Westbrook, too, who, of course, was here with James Harden and with the Rockets for a little bit of time, but maybe was turned off by the way that things were run under James Harden. He had some interesting things to say himself in the wake of the end of the Lakers season.
I'm not sure what his issue was with me, or I'm not sure why, but I can't really give you an answer why things, we never really connected. Maybe, you know... that's something that he has to answer, but I never, you know, from the get-go was feeling like I was having to, like, try to prove myself to him and my capabilities and what I've been able to do for this game. And it's unfortunate, but it's really not kind of out of my hands.
Talking about Vogel there.
Yeah.
What I've been able to do for this game. Shut up.
And here's where I'm never going to say that I feel sorry for NBA coaches because they're making millions and millions of dollars. They hang out with beautiful women, et cetera, et cetera. But I will say this, like managing a team with that many egos, like guys that are known for having extreme egos and say things like that and take zero accountability.
None.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point he's like, fine, I won a championship. I'm good. I'll go somewhere else.
And good for him, because also too, I mean, just hearing Russell Westbrook act as if he was someone that deserved more respect. Like you're not good at shooting, okay? You're one of the worst 3-point shooters of all time. You play an aggressive brand of basketball that seems to be completely counterintuitive with the idea of team. Something that people who watched Oklahoma City from time to time noticed when you were there doing all your triple doubles and stuff. But I mean, as far as what you've done for the game, yes, you have turned collecting statistics into something that can win you the MVP. Because that's what he did the year he won that MVP. And I know a lot of people are still mad about it, having won it over James Harden. In retrospect, I don't really care about that side of it. But he also, I guess, Vanessa, said that he he was told that he was going to be able to be Russ and that LeBron and Anthony Davis didn't let him be Russ. I mean.
Oh, I thought there was a soundbite there.
No.
Oh,
no.
I was waiting.
No. I mean, that's all you need to hear. That's him.
No, I mean, like, you're not going to let me. I thought you were going to let me be Ness.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds so egotistical.
And let me be Ness?
Yeah.
Is that your alter ego?
Well, no, that's what, like, my friends back home call me.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you have a name for your alter ego? No. Do you have any alter ego? I mean, do you have a name, like, for I don't have a name for the intoxicated version of me, but there probably should be.
Oh, no.
Maybe call him Maurice. That's my middle name.
You have a good middle name.
Maurice is on the bender again. Crazy drunk Maurice. He's always good for a laugh.
Text the girls that you date and say, this is Maurice. That'll
This was really Maurice. It wasn't me. It was my, you know, I've been watching Moon Knight. It's my alternate personality.
We've also been talking. We talked earlier in the show about Cam Newton and some of his comments. Speaking of kind of tone deaf, weird comments. This is tone deaf in a different way. And I think it's worth talking about again, just because people are continuing to have the conversation about how he feels people and different gender roles should operate. And our producer, I think Sean Mapes has that audio from the very intelligent Cam Newton.
I grew up in a three-parent household, my mom, my father, and my grandmother. And I knew what a woman was, not a bad bitch.
Okay, what's the difference?
A woman.
Okay.
A bad bitch is a person who's just, you know, girl, I'm a bad bitch. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
I
looked the part, but I don't act the part.
Okay.
You know, and it's a lot of women who are bad bitch, and I say bitch in a way, not to degrade a woman, but just to go off the aesthetic of what they deem is a boss chick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a woman for me is handling your own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs, mm-hmm. right? And I think a lot of times when you get that aesthetic of, like, I'm a boss, bitch, like, I'm a this, I'm a that. No, baby, like, but you can't cook.
Okay.
You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to lead.
I almost vomited seven times. Here's my thing.
Oof.
I actually, the cooking comment doesn't bother me. If you as a guy want a woman that can cook, women have things they want in men too. That it's a little outdated, but I'm cool with it.
I think everyone should know how to cook, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But the issue is he's not saying that though.
He's saying just women.
Right.
So here's actually my biggest issue with what Cam Newton said is that he has this traditional take, this traditionally, you know, 1950s, 60s take on how women should act, quote, know when not to talk, know to cook, blah, blah, blah. Yet Cam is not traditionally masculine. Now, disclaimer, I do not care what people wear. I do not care how they act. But Cam wears what he wears, talks sometimes in a way that is more traditionally feminine, and then wants to say that women should get in the kitchen.
And he is talking about what he likes, and he is saying that this is, I think, what everyone should aspire to be. He, I guess, is annoyed by this, as he calls it, the boss bee movement, which is a bizarre thing to get mad about. You can just say, this isn't what I'm looking for.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, some people want it. Other people don't. I'll be honest. I want it. I want someone to, I don't know, keep me on my A game, to keep me from being an idiot. Because I obviously need a lot of help with that, as I share with you guys all the time. It's nice to have somebody who is going to challenge you from time to time. He's clearly not looking for that. And that's fine, I guess. But I like the back and forth that you can have with a significant other.
Paul's progressive, guys.
I guess I'm progressive. I don't know. I feel like it's boring to have somebody in your life who's a wallflower who's never going to challenge you.
Completely agree.
I'm always going to be the one that's like making decisions like that. That seems like it would go, first off, poorly, but second off, too, like, it just seems boring. I don't know. But again, that's what I like. What he likes is what he likes. I just feel like he generalized it a little bit too much on that front. I don't think this is as bad as when he was at the press conference. And we actually have the audio of this. This was from 2017, where someone basically asked him a question about a specific
female
play.
Reporter.
Right, and he got all... let's be honest, sexist.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and making getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, that one's bad. That one's bad. The other one, yeah, I don't really mind it, but it's fun to talk about. And look, everyone has different ideals.
Yeah, maybe just put a can on a lid on your mouth until you understand how to say it properly.
I would say that is the thing right here. Like, he was going to get destroyed for this. Why? Because of what happened in 2017.
And because of his word choice. Like, I have things I like in men. You have things you like in women. But you find a way to say it that doesn't make you sound terrible. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we put a bow on a Tuesday and talk about some of the USFL. But first, Paul Gallant, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Guys, guess what? You know what's coming up this weekend? We have an awesome fight, and you guys want to see
it. Ooh, fun.
Errol Spence Jr., Yordanis Ugas. It is taking place on Saturday in Arlington, Texas. You can drive up there and watch the fight itself. It goes down on Showtime pay-per-view. And this is a cool fight because you got a guy in Errol Spence who's coming back from a car accident in October of 2019 on top of that. And then he broke his orbital bone in training camp before he was supposed to fight Manny Pacquiao. So he had to withdraw. So the guy he is fighting stepped in and essentially like stole his title. Yordanis Ugas, he stepped in. He fought Manny Pacquiao in 2021 and he beat him. So now they're both battling each other. So this is going to be a whole lot of fun. Again, it's on Saturday night on Showtime. And look, if you want to go to this bad boy, drive on up the road. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So, don't miss Spence versus Ugas. Fight for the Unified Welterweight World Championship. It is Saturday at 8 o'clock Central Time, live on pay-per-view. Order it now.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, hey, we're wrapping up Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. Our producer is Sean Mapes. It's been a fun one.
Good
nice
to have
be
you
back.
Thank I've missed you.
It is. I missed you guys, too. It's nice to be back. Appreciate everybody's kindness. USFL. Try new ball tracking technology. Here's the thing. Any league that starts back up, starts up XFL, USFL, there's like the Arena League. The problem is always funding, right? So how long, that's my first question to you, is how long do you think this USFL lasts?
I think the thing that it is missing that the XFL had is that you could actually watch the games locally. They're holding all their games in Birmingham. So the season starts officially on Saturday. We have seen some preseason games. It's cool to see the Houston Gamblers helmets and uniforms back out there again, but there's something that they're trying to do, Vanessa, that I think is just, to be quite honest, stupid. And it's this system that I guess you could take a look at and say, all right, well, maybe the NFL can implement it, but I don't understand why they feel the need to do it. So what the USFL is doing right here is they are basically introducing a football that has a microchip in it. And this microchip can essentially determine where on a field a player is tackled and whether or not they made a first down. So this way they don't have to bring out the chains and take
no
time to measure
needed.
Them.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I kind of like it when they bring the chains out. It adds a little bit of like suspense before a first down because, yeah, the first down marker definitely gives you a general idea of what is and what isn't a first down. But basically what they're doing with this is that line that you see on television and the microchip, you add them up, and it's going to tell you where the ball is spotted and whether or not something is a first down. But the problem is it's very, very inexact based off of what has happened thus far. And there was a play, and I want to say, I'm not sure who this was between, because I just saw it retweeted by the Barstool Sports Unnecessary Roughness Twitter account. But it looks like you have a clear first down, and the guy's passed the first down line, and they're saying it's not a first down. And this is with, like, ball tracking. And I just don't – I feel like this is going to end up creating more problems because it's not –
And it takes away the fun a little bit.
Yeah, I think to a certain extent. I mean, look, I get it.
You
get rid of referees and replace them with robots and stuff, but
taking away jobs.
Yeah, and it is frustrating too, Vanessa, to see very often in games where referees will make a ruling about where a ball is down, and then it gets challenged, and it's clearly not where the referees say it was, and they won't overturn it ever. But I think it's really hard to determine when a runner's knee or knees or elbow or ankle or whatever is necessary is down on the ground and where the ball is at that moment in time. You can definitely figure out where the ball is. I don't doubt that. But where the ball is and compared to where a player is down, I don't think they have the technology for that yet. So I feel like they should probably hold their breath when it comes to trying to implement something like this.
New rules. We'll see how long that lasts. But I do agree with you. When I heard that the USFL was coming to Houston, I was excited. And, you know, you get like the XFL, the Roughnecks games were super fun. But they're not going to be here.
Right.
There's nothing Houston about it.
Yeah. So that part of it, I think, is a big misfire by them. You want to have actual stadium-style events. And here's the big thing that the NFL no longer has compared to leagues like this. Most people are priced out.
Right.
I want to go to a football game and I want to have a good time. And it's hard, too, when you're sitting up in like the 400 levels and paying like an arm and a leg to sit in the 400 levels and probably buying season tickets. I don't think it's quite the same experience, but you go to these games and it's a lot more of a, intimate crowd.
Yeah.
And
more fun.
Everyone's told me about Roughnecks games that they were just an absolute bleep show.
Awesome.
Right. So, I mean, that's what I want.
And even if you weren't at the game, the broadcasts were fun. You had like Diana Russini, who was interviewing the football players right after they made a big play.
That was cool too.
And the access was unprecedented. So the game experience was fun. The broadcast experience was fun. USFL, of course, not going to really have that local flavor, but we'll see what happens. All right. Savannah Bananas. They're one of the teams in the Coastal Plain League. They're a summer league. And the Bananas kind of model the Harlem Globetrotters type deal, where they're more about fun than the actual game. If you look up their Twitter, their TikTok, they have a lot of funny videos. One of their players had a bat that was on fire. And I mean literally on fire. Like the bat was...
What?
...was on fire.
Oh, my God.
And...
Yes.
And he got on base. He hit the ball. His bat was on fire, and he got on base. I love it. Baseball, minor league, summer leagues, more of this.
I would be terrified if I were a catcher or a pitcher and the batter has a flaming bat. I mean, also, if I were the batter, I would be nervous about the flaming bat too, because I'm assuming the bat is made of wood and that wood generally, you know, is combustible, flammable, one or the other, both.
Dangerous.
I'm asking
Sean
Mace
baby.
For confirmation behind the glass. Yeah, yeah. Well, but it's sick. It's freaking dope. I mean, I want all the weird things in baseball. And I like the Savannah Bananas also have the thing where if a person in the crowd catches a foul ball, it's an out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really like some of these ideas they're implementing.
Well, we know Paul likes weird baseball because he liked the Apple broadcast booth for the Astros game.
I like the Mickey Mouse stuff.
You liked.
I guess I don't even mind, honestly, the runner at second base in extra innings if I'm really thinking about it. It is Mickey Mouse stuff. But, you know, ain't too bad.
Fun stuff with the Savannah Bananas. They're a fun follow on Twitter. All right. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Bucks had more to gain by losing Sunday's regular season finale. Dropping to the East number 3 seed would have had them avoiding a potential first round matchup with the Nets. So their starting lineup was not their usual starting lineup. However, there was one issue. Jrue Holiday needed to play for 8 more seconds to get his $306,000 incentive bonus. If he could play 67 games this season. So he played for exactly 8 seconds, and the crowd loved it.
It was really funny.
I love stuff like this.
Because you saw the player bringing the ball up against him, and like he just wrapped him up like for a tackle and fouled him, and then he just ran right off the court afterwards. And the player who was dribbling the ball thought it was pretty funny, too. He's like, oh, yeah, just going to get intentional foul right away. That is pretty funny.
I like Jrue Holiday. I like the Holiday family in general, and I thought this was fun. It always cracks me up, too, in sports, the things that players have to do and the specificity to have, like, the exact bonus or whatever. Draft picks are a good example. Like, when a player gets traded and you have the draft pick drama.
Yeah, that's definitely true, too. Man, I still can't get over it. Someone said it in a Twitch comment. I don't think I could read it on the air. Combustible wood. Oh, you're thinking about something different here, Paul. Come on, guys. This is a family program.
Someone asks on Twitter, why does Paul Gallant hate baseball? I don't think Paul hates baseball. I think Paul just wants baseball to have a little more spice.
Well, why do I like sports that aren't baseball compared to baseball is the question you should be asking. And I could go on a very, very long list about that. 162 games. Some of them take 4 hours. That's just one of them. There's only like 5 competitive teams on a given year. How much further do we want to go? Pitchers that have a 7 ERA take like 5 hours in between pitches because they're adjusting their you-know-what skis and spitting out tobacco or chewing gum. Batters step out of the batter's box 35 times for no reason at all.
Yeah, I ran it out.
How long do you want me to go? I could go for a while. 162 of these. That's way too many.
Paul doesn't hate baseball. He just thinks it should be
a
little
more
fun. All right. T-minus 16 days until the NFL draft. We'll continue to talk about it all week. We'll have some fun guests on. We're going to put a wrap on a Tuesday. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says, our wonderful producer, Sean Mapes. You can find him on Twitter as well.
Shawnee Mapes.
Have a great day, guys. The Killer Bees are up next. Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank. Stick around.
Peace.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.